Take your Bible and turn to John's Gospel, John chapter 6. We have been journeying together through the Gospel of John, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And I'll tell you, it is an exciting journey that we're on. And I'm grateful that we have this opportunity to grow together and learn together by looking in the Bible and seeing what God says to us that will change us and make us different than we've ever been before. This morning, I do want to remind you as you're turning in Scripture that on the 25th, next Sunday night, we're going to have a family meeting. Now, we haven't been able to have one of those in a long time. We're going to update you on all things Whitesburg Baptist Church that we can in the time that we're going to have. And then we're going to have a very special ordination time for two of the young men on our staff. And I hope that you'll make sure that next Sunday night at 5:30 that you'll be a part of that. Not only will you glean and gain a lot of great information, you're also going to hear about some exciting things taking place in the ministries of our church, especially as it relates to our academy and some recommendations we're going to be talking about. So make sure that you don't miss that. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're looking forward to that together. Have you ever been afraid? Now, I don't mean like the staff member that was on staff at a church I served one time. This was a wonderful young lady, but I have never seen anyone that was more fearful or could be scared easier than this young lady. You could be walking through the office, and if her head was down and you said, good morning, she would shout. Now, it wasn't shouting like she got laid out in the Holy Spirit or anything. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, she would shriek with a level of anxiety and fear. But that's really not even what I'm talking about. How many of you play practical jokes on family members and scare them every now and then? Be careful. You may be unaware that they may be armed and dangerous or something. You just don't ever know. When I first went to Mississippi to serve in Hattiesburg, I was talking to a number of young couples around the table, and I had never hunted before, and I just started getting into hunting a little bit, and now I enjoy it. I like deer hunting and turkey hunting, and it's always a lot of fun, but the young ladies around the table with their husbands, I didn't realize that they hunted as well, and they actually looked at me and said, oh yes, if we can kill it, we're going to eat it. I thought, I'm in Mississippi, but no, they were wonderful people. And but have you ever really been scared? I don't mean just someone startles you, but I mean really afraid. I've never really had too many occasions where I have been just overwhelmed with fear. I've had anxiety at times, but being overwhelmed with fear and thinking that dread has come is something that every one of us experience every now and then. I've got a buddy up here in the choir named Troy. Troy was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, weren't you, Troy? Flew over 300 sorties in Vietnam. He's a hero to us, amen? Yeah, give him a hand. As brave as he was and is, I'm sure that there were times that he was afraid. He said, amen. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's something, a storm that arises in your life that you didn't ever expect from one of your kids, a grandchild, or something else. And fear begins to grip your heart. The Bible, 365 times, tells us to not be afraid. But yet we find ourselves in John chapter 6 in a very important passage of Scripture beginning in verse 15, and I'm going to read through verse 21. And in a moment, when I read these, I'm going to read these verses. I want you to mark that the disciples of Jesus, the Bible says, that they were frightened. Now, on the screen, they won't have verse 15, but I decided this morning that I wanted to start reading in verse 15 rather than verse 16 because it puts all of this into context. Jesus and his disciples had just been involved with a massive public miracle of the feeding of 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. And it was one that was on display for everyone to see. And then the Bible tells us that when it came time, Jesus departed to the mountains to pray, and he sent his disciples into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee to get to the other side. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level. On three sides, it's surrounded by mountains. And when the warm air off of that lake water rises up and the cool winds come rushing down from the mountain ranges nearby, the Golan Heights, the mountains over there by Lebanon, and all of those begin to come together, on occasion it can create a whirlpool kind of an effect, and massive, horrific storms can occur. Listen to what happened. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. Now, if you want to read a further extrapolation of the events that occurred, you go to Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 14, because the other gospel writers give to us more detail as to what occurred on this night. Verse 18. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. And then when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Now in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says that when the wind and the waves began to rock and roll the disciples, that they became overwhelmed with fear. And then when they even saw Jesus walking to them on the water, at first, according to Matthew and Mark, they thought that it was a phantom, and they were overcome with fear. The key verse here that we're going to see in a moment is verse 20, but what I want you to understand is that Jesus now performs a private miracle. He had just performed a public miracle in the feeding of thousands, but now with these 12 disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is going to perform a very private miracle. And when he performs this private miracle, Jesus overcomes distance, he overcomes a storm, and he overcomes the fear in the hearts and the minds of his chief creation, man. And it was the presence of Jesus that calmed the fears of his disciples, reminding them that he literally is the Lord of creation. So if you're writing down notes, here's the key thought for these verses this morning. When you are afraid, I want you to remember that Jesus is the Lord of creation and that Jesus cares for you. When you're afraid, remember that Jesus is the Lord of creation and that Jesus cares for you. Now, the key verse is verse 20. Look at what it says. He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Two things that I believe that we can learn to live with in this passage and live by from this passage. This morning, I want you to be assured of God's presence in your life. One of the things that Jesus was teaching his disciples was that they could live literally with the assurance of his presence. Now, I mentioned to you that the Bible says 365 times in some form or fashion, do not be afraid. One way or another, God has said, be not afraid or fear not. Somebody once said, the devil is the sinister minister of fear, but our Lord tells us, don't be afraid. Remember, this is early in the ministry of Jesus. The 12 disciples are still growing in their understanding of who he is. And Jesus ultimately wants them to know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing in him, they have life. That's what God wants you to know. But the Bible tells us that Jesus sends them out onto the Sea of Galilee as the sovereign God, Lord over all creation. How many of you believe that he knew that there was going to be a storm on that lake that night? How many of you believe that? I do too. And what's interesting in this passage of Scripture is that when Jesus sends them out, Jesus goes to where they are, and literally they are learning this lesson. They can live with the assurance of his presence wherever they are. And so in this passage of Scripture, we learn that he is there. Listen to what Psalm 139 says. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, darkness and light are alike to you. I want you to know this morning that through the experience of these disciples, they learned that they can live with the assurance that God is there. You can't run too far. You can't climb too high. You can't dig a hole so deep that you can get away from the presence of the living God. Wherever you find yourself in life, he is there. Isn't that good news? But not only is he there, the Bible says he is near. He's near. We're reminded in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He's near. Listen to what Psalm 73, verse 28 says. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works. Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. One of the things that I have seen and I have learned is that in these days, there are a lot of frightened people. And not necessarily frightened, but there are also people that are filled with anxiety and overcome with worry. Has there ever been a time in your life where anxiety has gripped your heart and your mind, and you have felt paralyzed and frozen and uncertain of what you need to do? Have you ever been there? I have. Not many people raise their hand. Let's learn how to get honest in church. How many of you have ever been anxious and overwhelmed? Now, I want to tell you something. Every day you can live with the assurance that God is there, but He's not just there, He's near. Do you realize that the Bible says that Jesus went to the mountain, put the disciples in the boat, and as they were going across, they had only rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and the Bible says it was the watch in the night that was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., and somehow, miraculously, it was not just that Jesus stilled the storm, it was the fact that Jesus came from there to over here. And He didn't just leave them in the boat. The Bible says He got in the boat with them. Psalm 119 says, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." Now, there's something important you don't need to miss. Yes, Jesus moved from here to there to get near them. Jesus performed a miracle by walking on the water to where they were. But Jesus walked on the water before He calmed the storm. If Jesus had calmed the storm, the disciples would have missed His majesty. His majesty was the whole point of the story. We want Jesus to hurry and calm the storms in our life, but sometimes what God wants to do is God wants to show up from here to there. He wants to draw near. He wants to walk to us on the water so that we can know that even in the midst of the storms of our life, not only is He there, but He is near. Let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to feel Him near. And aren't you glad that we live on promises, not emotions? Aren't you glad that we live on promises and not what we can see, taste, touch, and smell? Aren't you glad this morning that we have been given the promise that we can live with the assurance that God in His presence is there and God in His presence is near, even when we ourselves struggle to see or feel His presence? But there's a second thing. Not only does the Scripture teach us that we can live with the assurance of His presence, but the whole point of this story is bound up in this next principle. Remember, John is writing this gospel narrative that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing in Him, they may have life. And Jesus had just performed this miracle of feeding the 5,000, and publicly everybody saw what happened. In a few short verses, the very few people that remain following Jesus are a testimony to the fact that they came to realize that they had confidence in His person. There were many in John 6:66 that walk away, and the reason they walk away was they were only there for the physical bread and the miracles that they saw Jesus do. But those that stayed, they stayed because they had confidence that the person of Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ, and that believing in him, they had life and had it everlasting. So here it is. Not only does this scripture passage teach us that we can live with the assurance of his presence, but it also teaches us that we can live with the confidence in his person. You say, Daryl, how do you know that this is a highlight in this passage? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Let me read to you from Mark's account in Mark chapter 6, verse 51 through 52. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. You see, it's possible to see God do a mighty miracle. It's possible to see God do something really amazing. It's possible to see God perform something so astounding that you're overwhelmed by it, and still to resist the reality that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, because their hearts were hardened. So when Jesus sent them into that boat, when Jesus knew that that storm was going to arise, Jesus knew he was going to come from the mountain to where the men were. Jesus knew that he was going to perform a miracle of distance over the darkness of the storm, and he also knew that he was going to reveal to them again his deity by walking on the water and calming the storm. Because they were growing in their faith. Now turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and I want to show you something in verse 33 in a moment. One of the things that we are dealing with today is the vast number of people that say things like, I don't believe the Bible, I don't really think Jesus is God. You know, Jesus was a good teacher and he was a good man. But ultimately, the real question is, who is Christ? Did he really rise from the dead? I want you to see what happens. In Matthew's account of what occurred in verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. This is Peter and Jesus. Verse 33, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. The reason this miracle, this private miracle that Jesus performed for his disciples is so critical, is that this is the first time they called him the Son of God, and it is the first time in Scripture that the Bible tells us that the disciples bowed down and they worshiped him. But it's not only that. Go back to John chapter 6 and verse 20. Jesus said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, God had revealed himself to Moses with the words, I am. And what's interesting is the construction of this language is that Jesus uses the same words to describe himself in John 4:26, here in John 6:20, and in John 13, verse 19. In other words, when the disciples were frightened and Jesus made the statement, don't be afraid, Jesus also claimed and exclaimed his deity and his right to have authority as Lord over creation because he said, I am who I am. And then all through the Gospel of John, we have those I am statements. I am the bread of life. And as bread sustains our lives physically, Jesus will tell them later in this chapter that unless you eat of me, the bread of life, you can have no part of me. And many of them walked away because they didn't want that. They just wanted the manna and they wanted the miracles, but they didn't want the God-man. And in this passage of Scripture, what Jesus was doing was rooting deeply into the hearts and the minds of the disciples. The storm that you're on the Sea of Galilee is only going to be but a little bit of a blowing wind compared with the storms of the enemy that will come against you when you begin the ministry I'm going to give you. The storm that you're on in this boat is nothing compared to what you're going to face by the ridicule of Rome and the resistance of Jerusalem. I'm telling you ahead and in advance, you need to live with the assurance of my presence, but you'd also need to live with confidence in my person. I am who I am. I am the bread of life. And then he says, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. To a world lost in darkness, Jesus is the light that exposes the darkness of our sin and offers hope and forgiveness. Billy Graham said, Jesus Christ is the one that brings peace in our hearts. He turns the light on in our hearts, His light. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. In John 10, he is the door of the sheep. Jesus protects his followers as shepherds protect their flocks from predators. Every building that you've ever been in has an entrance somewhere. And the Bible says the kingdom of God has an entrance, and the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, there's only one way, and Jesus is the door. Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the final word for those in Christ. Jesus gives life and promises eternal life to everyone who believes. Do you believe this? He says, I am the good shepherd in John 10, 11, and 14. He is committed to the caring and watching over those who are his. Why? Because he loves us. He assures us of his presence, but I want you to know that it's not just his presence. Listen, you go to the hospital and you're in need. I can perform ministry of presence. I can come and I can sit by your bed and I can hold your hand and I can pray with you all day long, but I'm not a medical doctor. I can't help you. I can't heal you. But Jesus is not one who simply comes with his presence. He is the perfect Son of God who comes in power and has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of life. He is the good shepherd. In John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only and all source of truth about the knowledge of God. There is only one way to God, and it is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then that seventh I am saying, I am the true vine in John 15. When we attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, we are enabled by his life-giving flow in and through us. And it is by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit we bear fruit that will honor the Father. All of the I am sayings of Jesus are continuous from this passage in John chapter 6 when Jesus says, don't be afraid, I am. And so whatever it is that you're facing in life, whatever storm comes your way, whatever anxiety and fear begins to grip your heart, you simply turn in the midst of that storm and you see that Jesus in his presence is there. And you see that Jesus in his presence is near. But even beyond all of that, you see Jesus in his power as the great I am. He is I am. And he loves you, and he cares for you, And in this passage of Scripture, he was deepening and strengthening the faith of his disciples to know that he really is the Son of the living God. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. Now, there are usually two kinds of storms in our life. One of those is what we can call a correcting storm. That is, we're like Jonah. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and we start running the other way. Have you ever run from God? And God sends a storm to correct us and get our attention and to turn us around. Sometimes we have correcting storms. But then there's also a second one, and that is what we call perfecting storms. Sometimes God, in his sovereignty and in his love, he will allow things into our lives for the purpose of perfecting us and growing us more into the image of his Son. Where are you this morning? You say, well, I'm not in a storm right now. Well, my experience has been you're usually just getting out of one or about to get into one, because life doesn't stay static very long, does it? But I want you to know that when you're afraid, I want you to remember that he is the Lord of creation. And he cares for you. Would you stand this morning? Whether you're online or in person, we want to help you this morning. And the way that we can help you requires a response from you to this message. See, this morning, someone here or listening online needs to speak with a pastor about their soul. My greatest concern is that there would be anyone who is here that you get the words right. You say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But have you believed, put your trust, put your faith in him? This morning, if you'd like to text or email or call us, you can. Or you can chat with the pastor online. Or this morning in person, David Dye and Tim Bandy are here. I'm here. Others are here. We're glad to talk with you about your need for Christ. Now, others of you this morning, you're in a storm and you have been hurting. You've not told anyone about it. But the fact of the matter is, you're overwhelmed with anxiety or fear. And maybe this morning you just need to pray at the altar and say, God, I'm going to do what those disciples did. I'm going to worship you. And maybe you want a pastor to just pray with you and talk with you and encourage you this morning. Maybe you've been coming here for a long time or just a short while, and the Spirit of God has said, you need to join that church. I want you to get up from your seat. I want you to come and say to one of our pastors, God's led us to join this church. Is this what God wants for you? Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us. And I pray, God, that we will live every day with assurance and confidence because of who Christ is in our lives. God, use this word, strengthen our hearts and our minds. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.